Next Sunday, going back to our format of having Christian education in the morning worship. But it is different because we'll have Christian education at 10 o'clock and then we'll have morning worship at 11. And we will have virtually only a minute or two, 5 minute break between the two. So we'll basically come out of one and music will shift and then we're going to the other one and we move forward. We used to break and take half talk and do a lot of stuff. We're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to go from one to the other. And the Lord bless us as we get ready to fill this place up.
Amen.
I'm encouraged, and the people are going to come, and almost like the baseball thing, if you build it, they will come.
Amen.
And I'm just going to keep glorifying God and keep on this one. I'm going to keep saying it's going to be because it is, and I'm looking for the Lord to bring people. We hope I'm going to preach and teach and pray until I know the Lord is satisfied, and we need young people, we need old people, we need people in between.
Yes.
But more than that, it isn't so much of what we need to run the church, it is people who really need God.
Amen.
And our job is to convince them of that. I want to look at John this morning for a few minutes, the Gospel of John, and talk about what we're going on. Our theme as you're going into the jurisdictional meeting is unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And I really, John 14 and 27, I think it says, John 14. It takes me about as long to figure out how to go to things in here as it does to flip my Bible, but I've been flipping my Bible for all the time I've been in God, so I'm kind of used to it. And the thing about it in my Bible is I don't even always know what scriptures are saying. What I just know where it's located in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In John chapter 14, in verse 27, Jesus says to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, he says that I'm leaving you with a gift, peace. And in the New Living Translation, it says peace of mind and heart. And to a degree, that's correct. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. And that lets me know in the second part when it says it's something that the world cannot give. He's not only referring to peace of mind and peace of heart. He's referring to peace with God.
Yes.
And the reconciliation that we have with God. The reason why we, I'm not trying to say at any time the church should not be fun. I want it to be fun. I'm not trying to say it should not be enjoyable. And matter of fact, it should be. It should be, if you don't have joy anyplace else in the course of your week, you ought to have it when you come to the house of God. You should love coming to the house of God.
Yes.
And we would love it if it were not for the power of Satan and sin that causes you not to.
Yes.
That's who convinces you that it's not great. And even when church itself becomes somewhat, to some degree, toxic, so that you don't enjoy coming because church service is not good, once again, that's not God. Yes. Because when God has his way, all things, everything that comes from God is good and perfect. So when even the church itself and the services themselves in church become to a point where they're not something that the people can really have joy in and enjoy in and receive something from God in, then that's not God either, even though the people might intend for it to be, but it's not. So if you have if every time you come to church, the pastor gets up and he bawls everybody out, and he's this and that, and he's stomping, and he's, you know, I'm not saying the emotion, but he just, but his words are, you know, he's just, you know, everybody's wrong but him and whatever. That's not God. That's not God's way, because God's way is kind and it's gentle. Yeah. So, and it works, because it's what Jesus used. So when Jesus says to them, "My peace I give unto you," he's not just referring to peace of mind, and we don't want the cart God and the horse. You do get peace of mind from Jesus. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Jesus won't be having, the Lord won't give you peace of mind. Because there's peace of mind always comes. I don't care what danger you're in. When you sense that you're going to be all right, I don't care if you're hanging off the side of a cliff. But when you see a way, a vine, a rope, a step, a rock, anything, that you can say to yourself, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be all right. It doesn't matter, you know, tomorrow you can get this horrendous like the people did in South Florida, I mean, in Texas and South Florida, did it, Alabama, they did it too. Got these $5,000 water bills. Come on. You know, they don't, you know, there's no such thing. Yeah. And it's irritating when you get a water bill like that. And you have to go round and round with the city and everybody else. When anybody, if it's right, anybody knows, you get a $5,000 water bill tomorrow, it should be so obvious when you go down there, there's something wrong with
that. Yes.
Last month my water bill, you know, you say to yourself, last month my water bill was $36, now you're sending me one for $5,000. And you're telling me I've got to go to the lawyer and do all this to get this fixed out or whatever. Come on. Common sense should say to them, we have a problem somewhere. Your meter's broke something. But I'm using that example. So when you get up, you know, sometimes you get this huge, overwhelming whatever's going on. And peace comes in any time when you go down there and show them this $5,000 water bill, and you're really upset and you're really angry. And when the lady looks at it, or the man looks at it at the water bill place and says, "Oh, yes, this is a mistake. We've had a lot of them." You know what comes to you real quick?
Peace.
Peace, yes.
You know why it comes? Because now you know this is going to be all right.
All right, yes.
Last night, I got a call from, you know, got a text from Elvis Sewell. Elvis Tony Sewell went to go in the hospital last night, and, you know, he's having some hearts, and, you know, he's, you know, see, they can tell you all the details, but it was kind of scary. And anytime things happen like that, because they just come out of, they can come at any time. Mm-hmm. No matter what level of frustration or anger, it doesn't matter what's frustration, anger, hurt, fear, whatever it is, whatever disturbs your mind so that right now you are troubled, troubled.
Yes.
However it disturbs your mind, peace comes to your mind whenever you come to realize that the trouble will pass.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter, small matter, big matter, instant matter, long matter, when you can see the end of the tunnel, peace comes.
Yes.
So then with Jesus, when he says, "My peace I give unto you," in a very small sense, yes, that includes peace of mind, because anytime you find out that whatever is bothering you is going to stop bothering you, even if it's pain in your body, and when the pain eases, peace comes.
Yes.
This is the point. That's what peace is all about. Peace is the opposite of trouble or disturbance or whatever. Then what you're really looking for. Why do people get drunk? They're looking for peace.
Yes.
Why do people use drugs? Looking for peace.
Peace. Yes.
It's what the devil offers them. That's what the world gives them. So when Jesus says to them, "My peace I give unto you," peace that the world cannot give. Well, yeah, absolutely. It's referring to peace of mind. It's, you know, and to be settled and everything. But he's referring to something much greater than that. And this is where he's talking about the cart and not the horse. You know, we talk about putting the cart before the horse. He's talking about you have peace of mind, but the reason why you have it is because you have peace with God. And I give you peace with God. I reconcile you to him so that you not only have an advocate, because he's talking about the Holy Spirit. If you back up a verse before that, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I've said to you, peace I live with, you. In other words, he's saying, you're going to be, we're parents in here, and maybe our kids are old now. They are old. We don't have kids. We have old people. And we're older people. Robert has, his kids are relatively young as it goes. But the first time you have to leave them standing someplace or at home or someplace, you reassure them by saying to them, you will be all right.
Yes.
I'm going to be right here, and this is the number you can call me. Or I'm going to be right here, and if you need anything, you can yell for me. And I'm standing right here. You reassure them they're going to be all right. And then their minds are settled. They might be crying at first, but you will get there and you'll say to them, don't worry, I'll be right back. I'm not going to. You're settling them. You're giving them peace. This is exactly what Jesus is doing to the disciples.
Yes.
He's saying to them, because they're troubled. They've been with this man now for the last 3 years, and all of their troubles and all their cares and things have been taken care of. And he's getting ready to leave, and he's explaining to them, I'm not abandoning you.
Yes.
You must never feel like God has abandoned you. You might abandon God,
yes,
but God does not abandon you. He said, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. When we stop having dealings with God, it's not because God's not willing to speak to us. It's because we're not willing to speak to God. We're the ones who are standing in a corner saying, you know, like kids do. We're the ones standing around saying, I got this. I got this. I don't need you. I got this. We're the ones doing that. And God knows all along. Yes, you do. You really do need me. Because whether you know it or not, you know, like, you know, when our kids live in our house, I always use kids and parents because God is our parent and we're his kids. No greater example can you find, because that's exactly what we are. We are children of God. So then, you know, you'd be surprised. Your kids don't realize that houses don't automatically come with electricity until they get older. They don't get that.
That's true.
They know they need milk for cereal. But it doesn't occur to them that they need toilet paper. That the water in the house is not free. They know that they need, you know, they know nothing about a mortgage or rent until they get old enough, and, you know, for you to explain to them. And usually if you have good parents, if they have parents that have good jobs, that the discussion of the bills never comes around, parents don't talk about it. They have a whole lot of it. The mortgage, rent, what's that? You know, electrical bill, no problem. You know, they wouldn't even recognize an electrical bill. Go in there and bring an electrical bill. Let me look at it. What does it look like? They don't have it.
Yeah.
We're that way in God. We know that. We know when we have a need. Father, I really need your help. I really need you. And you don't realize he's been helping you all along.
Oh, yes.
And they come in when they run out of cereal. Mommy, Daddy, we don't have any cereal. Now they're saying, you're dropping the ball, Dad. Ain't no cereal here. You're dropping the ball. Why is there no milk? This milk is spoiled. They're in protest, not realizing you had to provide it to start with. Why is there no bread? How am I supposed to eat this with no... You know, my shirt is torn. I need a new shirt. You know, like shirts just, you know,
up here.
Automatic, just supposed to be there. They don't get it that these things are provided for them. And when you don't come to God, you don't get it either.
All right. That's right.
You don't get it either. You only are aware of your own little tiny world and when you have a problem.
Yes.
Whatever it may be. And then
You do the right thing because you come to God. Mm-hmm. Because when our children have a need, it is us they need to come to. We want to know about their problem, although when they get older, we don't know about their problems probably before their friends do. But we want them to come to us, and they get to be us again. Because when we get older and we don't have God, you have a problem, you don't take them to God, you take them everywhere else.
Yes.
You tell everybody else about what you're going through before you tell God. And God knows you have a problem.
Yes.
And it is not something you bring to him. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples, he says, my peace I give you. I am giving you peace that's backed with power.
Yes.
My peace I've given to you. And he says unto them, not as the world giveth. It's the same thing about the world. The world always wants pay. If you get anything in the world, it always wants pay. And it's not just the world out there that wants pay. It's the world in us. If you want me to do something, I want to be paid. I'll help you out, but you must pay. And I'll fix this, but you owe me. You owe me. How many times we ever tell people that? Well, yeah, but you owe me. We love saying that, don't we?
Yes.
But you owe God. We owe God. We owe God for air.
Yes.
We owe God for sunshine.
Amen.
You know, we owe God for rain.
Yeah.
We owe God for food.
Yes.
We owe God for shelter. We owe God for breath. We owe God for life. We owe God for strength. We owe him, 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 owe him. Matter of fact, we're charging people for things that don't even belong to us. Not your earth. Not your air.
Yes.
Not your water.
That's right.
But we never come around. So Jesus tells them, the disciples are very concerned. They really are having a hard time. With Jesus leaving back in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes on and tells them, I go to prepare a place for you. And about verse number 5, and I'll read down. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you in John 14 and 1. That's where I am, John 14 and 1. 14 and 1 and 2. Right where I was. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So Jesus says to the disciples, I'm not abandoning you. I'm not abandoning you. Mm-hmm. Robbie gets up in the morning when his son and his daughter are younger, or whenever they get ready, you know, as the case may be, Ella Jenkins, me, Ella Smith, any of us. We get up in the morning when our kids get big enough for them to get themselves off to school or whatever, we're going to work. They know we're not abandoning them when we leave the house. They know we're going to work. We have something to do.
Yes.
They know we're coming back.
Yes.
They understand the purpose of our work is to make money so we keep the house going and do it all those things. They understand that. And that we're not running away. They're never going to see us again. And Jesus says to the disciples when he goes back, I have something to do.
Yes.
There's more than I need to do. He says, and what I have to do is for you.
Yes.
I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare this place for you, I'm coming back to get you. I'm going to fix it up. I'll be back to get you. He says, because I love you enough that wherever I am, I want you to be there too. And this is the thing that people don't get. You know, like Jesus is going to snatch you away from something great. Don't you get it? God's trying to pull you out of the fire.
Yes, yes.
You know, people act like God's trying to take them away from love and happiness. Don't you get it? God's trying to pull you out of the fire. And Jesus says to them, he says, I'm going away. But, you know, because Peter has taken him a few days before and told him, we don't want you to leave. No, we don't want you to suffer. We want you to stay. Why can't you stay? And I don't know if you remember. I don't know what your situation is in your house, but for all of us, It's like, you know, you tell your kids, mommy's got to go to work. I'm coming back. I remember before Timaeus got used to the daycare, we used to drop him off. He was like about 18 months old or less, But in the first, for a little while, until he got used to it, he cried so hard, you'd be heartbroken leaving him there. They'd be carrying him away, he'd be reaching for you and all that. As if we were abandoning him forever. Until we could get him to understand that you're here and you play and you have fun, you take care of things, I'll be back.
Yes.
And one of the greatest things that used to happen in my older age and my joy was going to pick him up every day after school, because no matter what he was doing when he was in the nursery, when he looked up and saw I was there, it was done. He was coming to where I am. We need to be like that. When we see the Lord, no matter what you're doing, you need to come to where God is.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Every opportunity, you need to love God enough.
Yes.
It says in Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Yes. You need to love God enough that anytime you can be in his presence or sense his presence or be around the Lord, although he's there all the time, you need to want to be where God is. Tasha Cobb sings the song of one of them. And the refrain on it says, I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. And those songs reach out to me because they speak people's hearts. I want to be where you are. We need to want to be where God is.
Yes.
Not just, you know, especially in heaven, but not only so, we in our lives, we want to have a life where God is a part of it.
Yes, amen.
Wherever the presence of God is, or in another word, saying whatever the decisions of God, or the way of God, or the mind of God, whatever stand that God takes on a situation, we need to lean on the Lord's side. We need to want to be where God is. And that wanting to be where God is needs to take preeminence over being where anything in the world is. And the world not only being out there in the bars and clubs, the world also being in people's minds and their affections. Sometimes we choose people's minds and their affections, and we love people, and we would rather stand with them than stand with God. We would rather be their friend and love them. So when would I rather stand with somebody than stand with God? When they're wrong, it doesn't stop you from loving them, but when you take a stand with them and they're wrong, you're standing with them instead of God.
Amen.
I don't care who they are.
Ooh,
Wrong is wrong.
Yes.
So then when you side with someone who's not right, you're not siding with God. Doesn't mean you have to cast them off. Doesn't mean, oh, I hate you. You're not siding with God. And that's like telling your kids when they're wrong, I hate you. That's not what we do. But because we love them doesn't mean that we don't know them when they're wrong.
Yes.
And we don't start saying that they're right when they're wrong because we love them. No, just the opposite is true. Because we love them, we want them to come to terms with being wrong. Yes. So that they can get right.
Yes.
That's what righteousness is.
Yes.
Righteousness isn't this deep, it's not this deep, long, robe-wearing, hat-wearing, whoever-wearing zoot suit. Righteousness is not what I wear. Righteousness is what I become. And righteousness is, and it isn't this deep so that my voice changes. I don't laugh anymore. I don't, you know, I'm this somber, drone person, and I'm aloof, and I'm way up here, and all this. That's not righteousness. That's arrogance.
Yes.
Righteousness is what I get when I start being right before God. I'm righteous right where I'm sitting. I'm righteous in what I'm wearing. I'm righteous in where I work. I'm righteous in what I do in life. Because I am right with God. I do things that are right before God. My righteousness is my rightness about me that is like God. I am righteous in God. I'm not self-righteous, which means that I have decided myself what's great about me. No. I am righteous in the spirit because my mind and my way is right in God. That's what righteousness is.
Yes.
Lead me in the pathway of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead me into things that are right for your name's sake. So Jesus is getting ready to go back, and he says to them, and Thomas says to him, he says, whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. For where I am, there ye may be also. I'm not trying to leave you. I want you to be where I am. I just need to, you know, do some things. You know, we have this plan. God has a plan. I'm working it out. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm setting things up. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He says, and where I'm going, you already know. Here again, parent with children. You say to them, oh, look, you know, sweetheart, you know I got to go to you know I got to go to work. You know, daddy don't go to work, you're not going to be able to eat. You know I have to go. And Jesus says to them, you know I, he says, and where I'm going, this is not the first time you've heard this. I've told you this all along. You've always known. You know about heaven. Yes. You're Jews, for God's sake. Yes. You know about heaven.
Yes.
This is not some new place that you've never heard of. This is what we need to say to one another. When somebody says, well, you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Then why don't you say, well, I don't know about this. You need to say to them, my Lord, if you know about God, you know about heaven.
Yes.
This is not new and foreign to you. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says to them, he says, you know where I'm going. And he says, where I'm going, you've heard of it before. You've heard of it forever.
Yes.
Two things the Jews always knew about. They knew about God, and they knew three things. They knew about God, they knew about heaven, and they knew about the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Four, really, because they knew about Messiah. They just didn't think that Jesus was him.
Yes.
So he says to them, and I'm going. And then Thomas says to him, who was difficult to convince of anything, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? In other words, you know, when you think about it, Elder Smith, if Jesus says, you know where I'm going, and you know the way, Jesus says this, who speaks by the Spirit of truth. Jesus knows whether or not he has told them where he's going and how and who he was. Jesus knows by way of the Spirit, because he has all discernment. He knows what they know.
Yes.
And then Thomas turns around and says, we don't know that. I ain't never heard that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Wouldn't that frustrate you?
Yes.
You just finished, you know, I've been with you all this time, and I've told you about, you know, I'm going back to heaven, and you know where heaven is. You know, my Father who's in heaven. I came down from above, Elton, if you ask what you're right. And then you turn around and when you say, you know, now when it's time for me to go, and I say, well, you know, and you know, I'm going back to the Father, and you know, the way I'm going to get there, I'm going to go off. And I'm going to be, you know, be with the Father, and I'm going back to heaven. We talked about it just all this time. And then you step up and say to me, we don't know nothing about that. Believe me, as a pastor, I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
You're not paying attention, or you just don't want to admit that, hey, you know, I forgot about it. But he tells Jesus, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how. Well, we get it. He's scared. All right. He's not understanding. Okay. He's not sure. And Jesus said to him, I am the way. In other words, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man can come unto the Father but me. If you had known me, you should have known the Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So when Thomas talked to him, he said, I don't know nothing about it. He said, this is the last ditch effort to keep him from going. You must not let your love for people who live on earth, and you notice I did not say people in the world, because you claim Bishop so-and-so, Elder so-and-so, not in the world. So I'll use the term people of earth.
Yes.
You must not let people on earth stop you from doing what you must do in God.
Yes.
You must not let them come and, for whatever reason, hinder you from doing what you know you need to do in God. regardless of what their relationship with you is and everything else. You have to say that I love you and everything, but you know what? I can't let you keep me from going to heaven.
Yes.
That I cannot do. And Jesus says to Thomas, he says, look, I've already told you. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to God the Father. I am the Messiah. You know, I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. In other words, you come through me. The Holy Ghost comes because of me. The Spirit comes because of me. You know, this is when you read when you read John and you read these chapters in John, don't you know the disciples are there when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus? I know, like, they try to show on television like Jesus and Nicodemus have a private conversation, but that's not true. If they had a private conversation, how would John know about it? Write it down in the Bible. They're sitting right there when Jesus explains to Nicodemus that the way to God is to be born again.
Yes.
And that is a spiritual event.
Yes.
It's what Jesus is saying to them. It's a spiritual event. And this is another thing that that when Jesus is talking about this, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, because he's saying that when I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to be, he's going to babysit you, for lack of a better term, to say it so you can understand it. He's your advocate. He's here with you. When I'm walking with you, I say to you what is sin and what is not, and you get what is right and what is wrong, and you know, love one another and do all this. I do all this. When I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of my words and the things I've told you and the things you understand. He's going to bring it back to your mind, and you're going to always have someone to lead you and guide you. Listen, if you allow the Lord to come in, you'll always have somebody to lead you and guide you. Stop worrying. I remember to this day the feeling that I got when the Lord first saved me. My very first thought when the Lord saved me was not the Lord's gonna bless me with a house. It was not that. It was that me and my family are going to be all right.
Yes.
That I'm the feeling I got as a husband and a father was, I am not trying to do this by myself, because I often wondered. I used to walk in my house and say, God, you know, I'm the man in this house. There's no dad to ask what to do. There's no mom to ask what to do. It all depends on what I decide to do and which way I go. You know, some people don't give those things a thought, but I do.
Yes.
And I'm not saying you have to, but that's the way I work. That's the way that's the inner workings of. And I used to say to myself, God, you know, I got to make this work in the military, and I've got to make this work in every other place, because everybody's got to eat. I used to, you know, car didn't work for a while. Motor car stopped working, so I'd get up, and it'd be like minus 30 degrees in the morning in South Dakota, minus 30 degrees temperature. Chill factor would be like minus 50, whatever. And I lived 4 miles from CSC, and I'd get up early enough. I'd get out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd kind of you know, I have on the bunny boots and all this gear and my hardback in my backpack. And I would walk all the way to CSC, because I had to be on that desk by 5 o'clock. And I would walk to CSC because my family, I didn't even give it a thought, because I did what I had to do. And when the Lord saved me and I knew I had someone else that was going to, you know, I said, what am I going to do next? And how am I going to, you know, whatever. Because I was concerned. And when the Lord saved me, the first thing came to my mind, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I have help.
Yes.
I'm so glad I have someone, you know, that I can depend on that's greater than me. I love having someone who was greater than me.
Amen.
So when Jesus gets ready to leave the disciples, Thomas is concerned. And he's saying, you know, well, how are we going to make it now? You know what? Smart people ask themselves all the time, how am I going to make it?
Yes.
It's not a worry. It's the smart question to ask.
Yes.
How am I going to get my next car? This one's not going to last forever. How am I going to maintain my house? It's going to have to be painted at some point.
Yes.
New roof. If it's made out of brick, then it's going to have to be caulked at some point.
Yes.
How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Smart people ask themselves, how am I going to retire? I'm not going to be able to work forever. How am I going to make sure my kids are able to go to college if they want to go to technical school, if they want to do that, or at least might not be able to give them a full ride, but help them to the extent that I can. Smart people in the earth ask themselves, how am I going to do this, that, and other things? And some people don't worry about it. It'll just happen. You know, we'll see when we get there. Thomas is concerned, and he's saying, okay, you gave us this ministry. What are we going to do? You're leaving now. How are we going to know? Where are you going to be? It's all about. Jesus said, my way is, I am the way. You know, I've shown you how to get to where you need to be. I am the way. I've made the way. I'm providing this. This is going to happen. He says, I'm the truth and I'm the life. And, let me get down to my verse now because my time is running out. And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but me. And if you've known me, you've known the Father. So this is the verse that a lot of people like to use and say that Jesus Christ and God the Father are the same person. But Jesus' point is, he says, the Father is just like me. And I'm just like him. He says, you don't have to worry about it. When I leave, rules are not going to change.
Right.
You know, if you're in a church where the Holy Spirit is really over, where the Holy Spirit really has his way in the church, one thing that I want to do in this church, I pray that I have a lot more people, but if it doesn't and I go to heaven, okay, so be it. I want to go. At least I tried. But what I want is for the Holy Spirit to build this church so that I'm not almost 100 trying to hold on to my position in this church because I don't trust that anyone else can take it on.
Yes.
Because if I get to be super old and I don't trust that anyone in this church can take it on, in a manner of speaking, I am not trusting the Spirit. I haven't trusted him enough to bring along someone because I didn't trust anybody to try to teach to take my place. I felt like the only person who can do this is me.
Yes.
And then when I get ready to go, I don't have anybody to turn it over to because I always felt like the only person who can do this is me.
Yes.
And then if I get ready to turn it over to somebody, I say, well, hey, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not because the only person who can do it is me. Then what you're telling me is you're doing this yourself. Because if you're trusting the Holy Ghost to carry it on, if that's who's really carrying it, then trust the Holy Ghost can use someone else just like he used you.
Yes, amen.
Since you say that everything you do is of the Spirit,
right, yes.
Then you can't have a monopoly on the Spirit.
Yes.
And if God has worked through you, he'll work through others. Don't you have a Bible?
Yes.
That shows what he told the people of Israel? He says, just like I was with Moses, I'll be with Joshua.
Joshua, yes.
And so forth, and
on, yes.
And it goes on.
Yes.
You have this thing like, I gotta hold this down. I gotta hold this down. Well, you're not, you know, it's between you and God, but you're not as much in the Spirit as you
that's right.
Probably need to be. That's why I'm in the process now. Chandra's younger. I don't expect her to run this church by herself. I don't expect anybody to. But I know that in Robert's generation, that's why we need Robert. That's why we need all the young people here, because you need to carry on this church.
Yes.
You're not just a spectator or a visitor. I'm trying to get people to carry on the church.
Yes.
That's the whole point. And you need God.
Yes.
We need workers. We need people to come in and do the work God to carry on God's ministry.
Yes.
And the Spirit that is in me, as they said in Joshua, the Spirit is in Moses of being in him.
Yes.
How much do you trust? Why do you get to a point where you don't trust the Spirit being anybody but you?
Yes.
That's a problem.
Yes. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
Yes.
But it's between you and God.
Yes.
So Jesus says to them, he says, just like the Father's in me, he says, Thomas asks him, says, well, how is the Holy Ghost going to help us from that? What's the Holy Ghost going to do? And Jesus says to him, he says, just like, you know, he says, if you've seen the way the Father works, if you've seen me, that's how the Father works. You don't have to expect that things with the Father will change. They're going to be just like they always were. The Holy Ghost is going to come in. And he's going to guide you and lead you. He's going to, you know, all the things I've taught you through these 3 years. And this is another reason why I keep saying, and not I, but the Bible says, we're not supposed to sit here and be taught every other week for the whole life.
Yes.
That's not what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to become teachers ourselves so that we don't have to show up and sit in these seats every time, seminar comes over, and here we are being taught again. We're supposed to grow up. And Thomas didn't want to grow up.
Yes.
Peter didn't want to grow up. We want you to stay right here and keep teaching us and leading us. Jesus says, I have other things to do. that are greater than this. I got to go to the cross. I have to be resurrected. And I got to carry the blood to heaven. I have to be an intercessor. I have to be a great high priest. You have to grow up. That's why Paul says, too, for one for the time you ought to be teachers. You're still sitting here trying to soak up everything you can. No, you need to be on the back. Those young people in the back, who are young not in age, but people who are new, that's who needs to be on the front row.
Yes.
By now, you should be all right if you've never heard another one.
Yes.
You should be fine.
Yes.
Because you have your Bible, you have the Holy Ghost, and you've got Christ, and you ought to be able to go on.
Yes.
The people who got saved last week, they need to be on the front seat.
Right. Yes.
You need to be an usher.
Yes.
Keep the kids in the back. Do something.
Yes.
So that the people who need it, we got people who work in the back who are young, they're always in the back, they're always playing. Those are the very people who need to be in the seats.
Yes.
But can't get you, how about the elder? I ain't going back there.
Why not?
If you grew up, you would.
Yes.
He says, no man can come to the Father but by me. He says, I'm going away. They're asking Jesus, they're saying to him, just stay here. You agree? You're a dynamic preacher, healer. You got power. But Jesus recognizes what his power is for. It is not to just keep sitting there doing miracles in front of the disciples.
Right.
It's for the word of God to grow and for the will of God and the plan of God to be done. It's not to just impress the disciples with his power. It is so that they will go out with the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, and what he has done, they will do.
Yeah.
So that people will be saved all over the world. And so he says to them, he gets all the way down, now to about number 14, where I came in at, and we'll finish this. 27. Back down to 27. And so he says to them, finally, he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost in 26. And he's going to bring all things back to your remembrance, that whatsoever I have said, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Here again, trusting the Father, because the Father ordains everything. The Father ordains everything. The Father ordains everything. The Father says, let there be, and then by the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, things get done. But the Father ordains everything. The Father ordains everything. Either you're ordained by God or you're not ordained at all. I listen to people say to people sometimes, they go such and such, we take that title. You can take all the titles you want. I was ordained by God.
Amen. Yes.
And if you're a preacher and you don't feel like you're ordained by God, then you're probably not ordained. You're exactly in my mind. But if you're ordained, people don't take ordination. So what if they backslide? Well, you're just a backslidden preacher.
Yes.
You like Balaam. He's just a backslidden preacher. But the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Everybody see verse 26?
Yes.
He's going to carry on the work and teach you all things and bring all things you remember whatsoever I have said unto you. In other words, he's going to carry you higher. You're leaving one level and going to the next. Who's doing this? Let me ask this Christian education class that I have here this morning. Among all of you, Robert, Elder Jenkins, Ella Reed, Ella Smith, all of you on Zoom. Who's doing this? God is doing this.
Yes.
Jesus says, it's time for me to go back to the Father. God's going to send you someone else to help in my place. In other words, I don't have to be the one to stay here and do this. God's going to send someone to work in my place. He's going to do that. God is going to make sure you're taken care of. He's going to send you the Holy Ghost. And I have no problem doing the Father's will. How are we afraid of you? I'm the only one who can do it.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who can do it.
Yes.
Well, Elisha had that mind too, so God had to sit him down and tell him, I got 7,000 people doing what you do.
Yes.
You are not the only one who can do it.
Yes.
I got all these other people doing the same thing you're doing. You are not the only one who can do it. You know what we never make, better never get to mind that? I'm the only one who can do this.
Right.
Not if it's God.
Amen.
You might be the only one, only Elon Musk with your little worldly goods that you're going to die and leave every last dram of it.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Everything.
But in God, don't ever think that you are the only one that can do anything that is in God. Why would God only have one person doing anything? The only time God had a one was Adam.
Yes.
And Jesus. True enough, yes. Jesus. But in men, yeah, Adam and Jesus. Okay, I got it. You're right. But in us, I'm the only person who can. That's why now, I'm up here today because Chandra's still writing her outline for next week. And Elvis Smith's been sick and not doing that well. Ella Reed preaches every now and then. That's not necessarily her strong suit, but she's got some tremendous suits. She carries this church financially and everything else. And hey, and I'm loving it. Need somebody to do it. But when it really comes down to it, how do we get to the mind that we're the only person who can
do anything?
I'm the only. If I don't preach, it won't work. If I don't come, it won't work.
Yes.
You're not as much in the spirit as you think. Yes. That's why Elijah told God. He said, "I'm sitting down here. I'm the last prophet. Ain't no more of them. You know, I'm trying to preserve my life. I'm trying to preserve my life. I'm the only one left." I said, "You're not the only one left." I can't remember if it said 700 or 7,000. What is it? Huh? 700? 100? He said, "I got 700 others just like you." What was he letting him know? So, well, they couldn't have known Elijah did, because Elijah had to know Elisha. If Elijah had decided he wasn't coming back, another one would have anointed Elisha.
Yes.
God was putting them on notice. I'm using you, but don't ever think you're the only one I got.
Yes.
You know, don't go there.
Yes.
Now, Jesus can say he's the only.
He's the only one.
He says, "I'm the only one. I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He says, and this is the reason why I have to leave. I recognize what my job is.
Yes.
I need to go. So then he says to them, "Peace I leave with you." This is what I'm leaving you with. I'm leaving you reconciled to God. I'm leaving not only peace of mind that you have and knowing that everything's all right, but I'm leaving the way to peace, the means to peace.
Yes.
I'm leaving it. Not only am I leaving peace for Robert, peace for Ella Jenkins, peace of mind, but I'm leaving you the way to free to peace. If you pray in my name, the Father will answer. The Holy Ghost will move. If you come in my name, my Father will forgive. My Father will deliver. The Holy Spirit will move. I'm leaving you, not only when he says peace, he's not just saying peace out and I'm gone. He's saying I'm leaving you the methods for peace, the way to peace. I am giving you how to always have peace. Confrontations come, but in me, peace will come. Difficulty comes, but in me, peace will come. This pops up, but peace will come. If you're sick in your body, I'll heal you. Peace will come. If I don't heal you, I guarantee you eternal life. Peace will come. If I don't get well, at least I know I'm going to heaven.
Yes.
Amen. And I shouldn't have used the term at least.
Yes. Yes.
Either way, it works.
Yes.
Amen. And this is why he told me, "Hey, I haven't taken you out of the world. That's why I'm leaving my peace with you." And it's peace that the world can't give. Why does he need to tell them that? Because he knows the world is going to try to convince you that they have peace too.
Yes.
The world, meaning not the things of the world, but the world system, yes, tries to convince you that you don't need God, that there's another way.
Yeah.
And whatever you do, turn very quickly for a moment. Hold to your place in John, and don't let it go, because you're going to come back to it. But turn very quickly to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 18. Whatever the world gives is temporary.
Yes.
Whatever the world gives is temporary. For all the years I was in the military, I went to the military in 1970. 1970, the Vietnam War was going on when I went into the military. Oh, the promises were just so huge when I went into the military. We were guaranteed medical for life, retirement, we were just, I mean, you know, to get a person to stay in the military in 1970, he was doing the draft, and the only people who didn't have a draft was the Air Force, Army, and Marines, and the Navy all had draft. You know, if you got caught up in the lottery, you had to go into one of those. And so people were going to the Air Force to keep from having to be caught up in the lottery because they were fighting on front lines. And the Air Force, the only people who were fighting on front lines were cops and pilots. Cops were often which fighting, and pilots were. The rest of the people sitting behind desks playing solitaire. But all the promises, and every one of us thought, there's no way in the world the military will ever change its mind. You're talking about the United States Air Force. We're going to have medical forever. That's what we thought. We're going to always have medical. And people say, well, I still do have medical. You don't have it by then. You turn 65, you're on Medicare just like everybody else.
Yes.
And if you want to have more than what Medicare gives, you have to have TRICARE for life or whatever it is.
Yes.
And if you want more than TRICARE for life gives, you have to have another insurance plan. Yes. Now, remember, in the military, everything's free.
Yes.
Every shot, every pill, every drop of what you pay for, you know.
Nothing.
When I came in the 70s, but then the military changed. So now I'm in the military, but I must pay for my own TRICARE. Even in the military, I'm TRICARE Prime, TRICARE Standard, but it comes out of my pocket. When I retire, I don't even get an ID card that says indefinite like they used to, because I'm only in my 40s and 50s. So I get an ID card that only lasts until I'm 64.
Yes.
Because at 65, they're going to put me out of the military medical system altogether, and I'm going to be on Medicare just like everybody else who never even came in the military. That's how it works now.
Yes.
So what happened to this 1970s promise that you made this 19-year-old kid? It changed. It went away. Well, it wasn't evil and it wasn't sin, but it was a worldly, it was a program of the world. It was something that the world promised. Something that the world said they would do. And Jesus is making the point of, the peace that I'm giving you is not like the world. It's not gonna go away. The system isn't going to change. My death, burial, and resurrection is going to last. You know, those, you know, being saved from it is going to be forever. This is the way. This is the way. I am the way. I'm not like the world system. Even in the Bible, there are different dispensations. There's a dispensation of innocence in the garden with Adam and Eve when they had no sin. There's a dispensation of conscience when they did sin and all of a sudden they know what's right and what's wrong. There's a dispensation of government that starts with Abraham and it goes on through the time of Moses. Then there's a dispensation of the law.
Yes.
All these systems are working in the earth simply because people will not obey the Spirit.
Yes. Yes, true. Yes.
So don't sit here and ever say to me, oh, nothing ever changes in the church, nothing ever changes in God. It always does.
It does, yeah.
And when I talk about even now about how we need to move forward with the new generations, with new people, keeping God in mind, then older people keep saying, man, you keep talking about change, you keep talking about change. Don't ever need to change your sound, just like the people in the temple.
Yes, that's
when
right.
Jesus came, change. The Pharisees,
right.
And Jesus says, we need to go forward. The Pharisees, these kept saying, don't we change, don't we change, don't we change. What we got is of God. It is of God for that time.
Yes.
But now the Gentiles need to be saved.
Yes.
And this doesn't work for them.
Yes.
So now we have to go in and do what was planned all along. This was just a stopgap measure. It was an interim plan. It was always planned that my son would come, which is Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and life.
Yes.
It was always planned that he would come. And that he would be the one to save them through his death, burial, and resurrection. So why did you give it off? Because you were such sinners, I had to give you the law to hold on to you long enough to be here when he came.
Yes, yes.
That's what it was all about.
Yeah.
You were so far from God, so backslidden, I had to give you a law just to hold on to enough of you. I needed a righteous woman, like I needed some young woman to be righteous, like Mary.
Yes.
I needed someone who still trusted God, believed in God, and was living free from sin, like Mary. who still believed in the coming Messiah, so that my son could be born through her. I couldn't have her born. I couldn't have my son born through Mary Magdalene. He needed someone who was God. I needed some young man like Joseph, who in the middle of this crooked and perverse generation would still hold on to God. Well, I had one. His name was Simeon. But look how old Simeon is.
Yes.
He can't raise, he could be godly, but he doesn't have enough years to raise my son to be a grown man. He's almost 100 himself.
Yes.
So I have to have someone left over. So in Moses' time, saying on down the road, God says, if I don't step in and give these people a law, because they're incapable of following the Spirit, and some people are capable of following the Spirit now, and you have to be told everything to do. Mm. Yes, you do.
Yes.
And every time someone says something to you, you keep saying, is it in the book?
Yeah.
Well, you need to start looking in this book.
Yes. That book. This book, yes.
Because that's the one that never goes away.
Yes.
So when Jesus gets ready to leave, are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18?
Yes.
He says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen, referring to not looking at the world and the things that are going around you, but the things that are not seen, referring to the Spirit. For the things that are seen are temporal, or they're temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So we don't look at troubles. He says in the New Living Testament, we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. And now you go back to John. The point being is, Jesus, when he says, my peace I leave unto you.
Yes.
I was looking at World War II the other day because I found it fascinating because I know the end. And since I know it comes out to a good ending, I don't mind watching it. I don't watch things that don't come out to an end that pleases me. You notice I said an end that pleases me? Because what you might consider to be a good ending is not a good ending to me. And I was watching this, and I was just listening to them how, before the war, Britain, France had a treaty with Poland, and that broke. Russia made a non-aggression pact with Germany. And 9 months later, after the non-aggression pact was made, Germany moved into Russia on Operation Barbarossa and almost conquered the whole country. Russia, something I found out last night watching one I never knew before. During the entirety of World War II, from 1941 all the way up to 1945, Russia had a treaty with Japan that they never broke. And the whole time, everybody, U.S. and everybody fighting in Germany, Russia had a treaty with Japan that they never broke. And when Russia broke the treaty with Japan, 3 months before the end of the war, Japan wasn't even aware of. So when America was really getting ready to bomb, move on Japanese soil, Japan sent ambassadors to Russia to try to surrender to Russia so they could end the war without surrendering to the U.S. and the rest of the world. That's when they found out that Russia had changed their mind, and now they had done the Yalta Conference, and Russia had a treaty with the U.S. and Britain. Mm-hmm. You see how things changed?
Yes.
They were making peace on all sides. But that was the world's peace.
Peace, yes.
And Jesus said to them, the peace I make with you is not like the world.
Yes.
Not like the world. You ever meet somebody, you love them, love them, love them for a while, then they do something, you don't like them anymore?
Yes.
You say, well, God, I know them now. I didn't know them for you. You change your mind.
Yes.
And the relationship you had with them changes. Sometimes rightly so. But Jesus says, but my relationship with you is not going to change. The way of peace that I leave with you is not going to change. You trust in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to save you in 1919? Fine. You trust in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to save you in 2019? Fine. You trust in him in 3019? Fine. If he doesn't come, you trust in you. It does not change.
Yes.
You trust that the Holy Ghost is telling the truth? Fine. This is the problem that we get into in churches, is it makes churches look bad. People try and shift around and say things of the Holy Ghost to fit what they're trying to do, which is not God.
Yes.
And they get people to follow them because they're saying, well, they've always been the Spirit. They've always been spiritual. Like they're not still human.
Yes.
Like they're not capable of still making mistakes and messing up.
Yes.
Listen. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And as long as I'm allowing Him to lead me in the pathway of righteousness and obeying the Spirit of truth, my righteousness is intact and I'm in God. But if I stop living righteously and do something I have no business doing, the Holy Ghost goes right on living right on in God.
Yes, yeah.
And you can't say, well, now He's going to know, yeah, but that way can't be wrong because He's so righteous. He can't be wrong. Yes, it can be.
Yes.
Because the Word of God does not change. I don't care who you are.
Yes.
God is no, when it says He's no respecter of persons, it doesn't just mean that He's fair to all persons. He's no respecter of persons when it comes to judgment. If you're wrong, you are wrong. I don't care who you are. So, but He's been doing right in God for such a long time. Yeah, that's true. So had Moses.
Right. Yes.
By the time Moses strikes the rock, he's been in God for 100 years. Yes, he has. Did he make God angry? He did. Did God do anything about it? Yes, he did. He told Moses, because of that, you will not go into the land of Canaan.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Say, did he unsave Moses? No. Did Moses lose his seat in heaven? No. But God let Moses know there has to be something done about what you did because it was not right.
Yes.
And but I guess there were a lot of people who felt like, why won't God let Moses go into Canaan? All Moses did. Why won't God let Moses go into Canaan? All Moses did. Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses this. Moses that. God said, that's right. But you know what? He knew better than striking that rock.
Yes.
He knew better than that. And He told the people off. Got angry with the people when God was trying to comfort them because they were suffering, because there was no water. Moses got up and used that as an opportunity to tell them how Moses felt, and God didn't like that.
Yes.
Moses was supposed to always speak for God.
Yes. Amen.
And God did not give Moses a pass. He did let him live for the rest of the years they were in the wilderness. And He did let Aaron live until they were almost ready to leave. But before they left the Sinai, before they left the desert, God said, bring Aaron on up here.
Yes.
And he died.
Yep.
And in Deuteronomy, which is Moses' last sermon, it's all one day, one sermon, all the whole book of Deuteronomy, because Moses is handing it off.
Yes.
And so someone said one time, well, I don't think Moses is up there. I think God took Moses like He took Enoch. You need to read your Bible. The Bible says when God called Joshua, He told him, Moses, my servant, is dead. D-E-A-D.
Yes.
Now, what is not known is where God buried him.
Yeah.
That's what Satan wanted to do and decide what to do with the body of God.
Yeah.
May happen that. Put him someplace. Nobody knows where Moses is buried to this day. But you have to stay in line. So when Jesus is leaving, I'm finishing now. Enough on this. He says to him, my peace. He wants to make the point. Elvis Smith. I'm not making treaties like David made or Solomon made or anybody else made or people making the world. My reconciliation, when he talks about peace, he's not just talking about peace of mind, he's talking about peace with God. He's saying, it's an immutable thing, unchangeable priesthood.
Yes.
It's not going to change from dispensation to dispensation so that now you're offering up lambs and rams and goats and turtle doves. He said, those things change. They come, they work their purposes, as the Holy Ghost says, you know, they're, you know, this is to keep the people in line, divine sin, and so forth, the schoolmaster and all this. He says, but what I am putting, what me being the way, the truth, and the life, he says, that's not going to change. You're not going to ever have another Savior.
Yes.
God only had ever one Son. No one else is going to go to the cross and die and be buried for 3 days and resurrected into an immortal body. Not going to happen again. In the natural. But in the spirit, that's exactly what happens to all of us when the Lord saves us.
Mm-hmm.
His death becomes our death so we don't have to die ourselves because we wouldn't be able to do it. His burial becomes our burial, which means a change or a transfer from an old life to a new life. This is why it's such a great asset of God to allow yourself to say and admit, I'm not what and who I used to be. And we have people, even when they try to come to God, when they get back to the world, they want to say, I ain't changed. Well, you should say to them, but I have changed.
Changed, yes.
Hold
on here.
I am changed.
Yes.
I have a new destiny.
Yes.
I have a new direction. I have a new master. I have new help. I have new strength. I'm a new person. I know that, I still have a lot of old things hanging off me, habits I need to get rid of, things that I keep saying, hey, you know, I need to stop doing it. I know. But now I also know where I was too weak to get rid of them before, I have someone else giving me strength now that I'll be able to do what I need to do.
Yes.
Because I've known for a long time that many of them I need to stop doing. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't kind of get around to it. And I've known for a long time I need to be closer to God. I just couldn't kind of get around to it. Now I have the strength to do it. Back to John. John 14.
Mm-hmm.
Peace I leave with you. In other words, he says, when I go back to heaven, my peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Don't ever think that because Jesus is saying, don't ever think that because you don't see me, the plan has changed.
Yes.
Like I might say, well, as long as I'm pastor this church, such and such is going to happen. That's not always a bad thing, because when new people come in, of course, they bring their personality and everything else. So I'm not saying that's totally bad. But don't ever give the impression that when you leave, the Holy Ghost is going to leave with you. Mm-hmm. Things are going to go down. When I leave, everything's going to go downhill. Not if God's in it.
Right.
Oh, what we going to do when Moses died? Well, if God's in it, it's going to keep going,
yes.
You know, when you really look at it, during Moses the whole time, he had to sustain him 40 years in the desert. But the truth of it is, Israel didn't flourish till after Moses died.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go into the promised land until after Moses was dead.
Yeah,
they didn't. The 12 tribes did not establish their land and their places in Canaan until after Moses was dead. They did not get the promises until after Moses was there.
Yes.
And then God went ahead and they flourished and became, you know, strong in the land. Then they messed it up. But, and you know, what do you want me to tell you? You can be strong in God too and still mess up. And that's the whole point of always needing the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to leave the comfort with you. And if they were going to be perfect in their knowledge and everything else, they would have needed the Holy Ghost to remind them of what Jesus had told them. They needed someone there. They needed, the Holy Ghost was there to, you know, it wasn't Peter's last time for getting angry. He needed somebody to remind him what Jesus told him about his anger.
Yeah.
Every one of them, whenever the Jewish people and the Romans all of them came against them, the Holy Ghost was there to remind them of his words. They'll come against you, but in that day I'll give you what to say. As Peter stood up in Acts in the second chapter, it's the Holy Spirit that's giving Peter how to preach.
Yes.
Telling Peter what to say and how to do. It's the Holy Spirit that's in them, that leads them and guides them, just as Jesus said that he would. That was the whole point. When you allow the Lord to come in, God leads you and guides you. He shows you how to work things in a way that is right. You can trust the Spirit in every situation you have. He brings you to a point where you'll always be all right, where things will be as they are. Do I have any questions on that? I lost a lot of people. I must have preached them out today. Let's see what I lost. All right. Peace I bring with you. Peace I leave you with. I give it to you. Not as the world give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be ashamed. You have heard how I said to you, I go away and come again to you. If ye love me, you will rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, but my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. And then he goes on and says, hey, you know, I'm not going to talk a whole lot. Here that I talk with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and has nothing in me, but the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so do I. Let us arise and go ahead. He says, you know, he says, as soon as I leave, he says, okay, yeah, I want everybody to know, being in God does not stop the devil from bothering you. Let me take that back, trying to bother you anyway. You just have someone who could fight the devil off. Yes. It doesn't, you know, the same spirit, that told me 40 years ago on Sunday morning when it's time to get up and go to church, today you just really feel tired. Don't you wish you could sleep for another hour? He still shows up. Mm-hmm. He don't bother me. He don't bother me every Sunday, but a lot of it does. Mm-hmm. You think by now he know yes. I'm gonna get up and go to church, but he still shows up from time to time. You know, he doesn't show up every Sunday, y'all to me. He doesn't show up every Sunday. He just kind of says, you know, as he's passing by, oh, I'm on Fort Walton. Let me drop in and see if I can tell Mrs. Smith not to come to church. You know? Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of, you know, you get around and you don't let it bother you. You don't, well, the devil don't tell me that. Okay. Let me see your miracles. Because if you've got to be so strong that the devil never says anything to you, let me see your miracles. Because the devil talked to Jesus.
Yes.
And you are not him. So if you're so great that the devil doesn't talk to you, or you want me to tell you what the truth really is, you don't know his voice when you hear it.
That's right.
If the devil never says anything to you, you don't know his voice when you hear it. You know whose voice you think it is? The Lord. Because when the devil can fool you, he'll show up himself as an angel of light. In other words, he shows up acting like he knows what is to do. An angel of light means that he shows light, meaning knowledge and wisdom. The devil shows up himself as someone who knows what to do. And when you don't recognize it that it's the devil, you think it's either you or you think it's the Lord, but it's really him. He shows up as an angel of light or as a messenger of light. And when you don't know his voice, you can't tell the difference between the two. But when you grow in God and the Word of God, then you know what is of the Holy Spirit and what is not. Because you try it against the Word of God. And then the Word of God is pure and it's unchangeable and it's infallible. In other words, it's never wrong. So if something doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. Because He is the Spirit of truth and He absolutely is in line with the Word of God. He Himself brings the Word of God. So when you have people who say, well, the devil never says anything to me. That's because you don't know the devil when you hear him.
Yeah.
Because if you did, when you get to a point where you recognize his voice, a lot of things you do that are not in God, you'll stop doing.
Yes.
And you sure will stop saying the things of the Lord when they're not.
Yes.
Ezekiel had a big problem with that. He said, we have prophets who keep saying the Lord has said something when the Lord has not said it. And that's something you don't want to do. People need to be careful. We always, when Jesus talks about his peace, he leaves, and the way that he's going, we need to be very careful when we start saying, what, you know, the Lord said this and the Lord said that. It's fine to say when you're sure the Lord said it.
Yes.
It's fine to say when you know. But I'll do this and I'll leave. But seriously, what do you do when you tell people the Lord has told you to do something and it doesn't work out? How do you fix that? Lord told me to do such and such and it doesn't work out. Do you go back to the people and say to them, you know what? I said the Lord told me to do this, but that didn't work out. That must not be the
Lord. No,
people don't do that.
No.
The Lord is telling me to do such and such, and when it doesn't work out, you don't go back and say, you know what? That wasn't the Lord. Might have been me, might have been the devil, but it wasn't the Lord. Because when God says something is going to work,
it works.
It does. Yes. Say, most of the time, when God says it, so, well, can we always be that perfect? This is it. Are you that perfect? No. There were many times when I thought something was the Lord and it wasn't. But I had to grow to the point where I was honest enough to say, that was not the Lord.
Yeah.
I lived with this woman over here. Ask her. Have you ever heard me say that? That was not the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I thought it was, but that was not the Lord. So, well, how do you know it was the Lord? It didn't work out.
Right. Yeah.
And if it had been God, you know what it would have done? Worked out.
Worked out.
That's right. So I found out that every voice that comes to me is not the Lord.
Yes.
So when they come, I have to do what John says. And what does John say? Try every spirit.
Yes.
See if it be of God or not. Especially when it's coming out of other people's mouths.
Yes.
That's why when people prophesy, you are supposed to judge that and see if it lines up with the Word of God. All right, well, it's really raining out there. You know, if I was in Africa, their custom is that when the rain comes, because they have droughts, when the rain comes, the Spirit has come in.
Come in. Yes.
They say when the Spirit really moves, it rains. Because they need rain.
Yeah.
Send down the rain. Lord, send the spiritual rain. Everybody stand.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. Precious Savior. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask you, O God. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, approve the word that was taught this morning. Lord, approve the word. You said in another place that Jesus Christ was a man approved by God with miracles, signs, and wonders. Lord, we ask you to approve the word that was preached today. Lord, approve me as a messenger of God. Approve yourself as God. And approve the word of God as being from you. And the Holy Spirit as being of you with signs and wonders. And touch the sick today. Touch Tony Sewell today. Touch Elder Smith, Elder Thompson today, O God. Elder Rogers, O Lord. Lord, Elder Sewell, all those, Lord, who have a sickness in their bodies. Minister, Sister Chandra Gamble today. Touch Minister Chandra Smith today in her arm. And touch little brother Robert, Lord, in his body. And say to them that this, I rebuke COVID and I rebuke flu. And we will not receive either, for we are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, and by His stripes we are healed. And Lord, even now, Lord, I pray so that Robert would believe. I pray, Lord, you touch little Robert and make him all well whole, that when he goes home, he will be better, that you will have moved. Lord, for your great name's sake. Lord, move on our behalf in every way. Lord, bless us as we go into this jurisdictional meeting. Lord, let everything we do be from you. Lord, lead me and guide me and turn me, Lord, like we turn a steering wheel. Lord, turn me in the right direction, O God, for all the guidance that I will give and the leadership, Lord. I pray, Lord, I really need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. Lord, even as you're using me to guide the people in this jurisdiction, Lord, I desire, Lord, that every person in this jurisdiction would be under the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, O God. That every move we make, every decision we come to, Lord, will be approved of by you and be given by the Spirit. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. We'll give you all the honor and all the praise. Lord, bless Mr. Ware, Mr. Steadman, Lord. I pray, Lord, send them a great blessing. Bless India, touch her in Jesus' name. Make the way. Lord, bless Elder Elgin, Sister Elgin. Lord, I pray, Lord, really raise them up and strengthen them, O God. Lord, I pray you just bless them in every way, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the Elder Rogers, I pray for her. And Sister Nancy out in Idaho. Lord, I pray, Lord, work things out. Lord, it's complicated. Work, but it's complicated for us, but it's not complicated for you. But Lord, there's nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
Lord, for all the people we've mentioned and prayed for, Lord, work things out for Tamez and all the things.